coming number one, born in Bethlehem. Coming number two, in the clouds. Coming number three is what we know as the second coming, because that's the second time that Jesus will come to this earth. And the Bible tells us that in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11, where Jesus will come, heaven will open and release the Son of Man, and he will come riding on a white horse, accompanied by you and me, the armies of heaven riding on white horses. And according to the prophets, he's going to land on the Mount of Olives. And the mountain will be split in two, and rivers of living water will flow out of him. Half will go to the eastern sea and half to the western sea, and the Dead Sea will come alive again. And Jesus will march down the Mount of Olives, and he will go through the Golden Gate, and he will re-establish his kingdom right there, the temple of the living God, because he is the temple, and establish the headquarters of heaven permanently and forever, because he will never again leave this earth.
Welcome to The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton, well-known evangelist and author. And speaking of author, yes, the book See You at the Finish Line is still available absolutely free if you give us a call at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Today's message, Pastor, boy, is one I'm really excited about, finding strength when weak. As we realize that we can depend on God, we're just open to what God's going to share, Pastor.
Thank you so much, Britt. I'm really excited about this message today from God's Word, because all of us run out of gas. Now, I know gas may be awfully expensive, but I'm talking about the inside kind of gas, the kind of stuff that makes us do what we need to do, the get up and go kind of stuff. And some of us have served so faithfully. I know many of you have been so faithful as fathers and mothers, sons and daughters, serving the Lord, and yet you've just run out. You've become weak. God will speak to your heart and help you to find strength despite your weakness.
It's great to have you here, Pastor. And now it's great to study the Word together. Romans 8 is where we begin, finding strength when weak.
I'm going to invite you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me in the New Testament to Romans chapter 8. You're going to need your Bibles, Romans chapter 8. I'm going to preach the first part of a two-part message on finding strength when weak. Now, I want to tell you something, my friends, that God is going to speak to your heart today, if you'll let Him do that. I'm going to ask a question. How many of you have ever just kind of run out of whatever it is you're supposed to say to God? How many of you have ever struggled with your prayer life? Raise your hand. Now, my hand is up 10 times over, because I'm going to tell you that I struggle with my prayer life. Some people will say to me, well, Pastor, you know, you're the pastor of the church, and you've studied a lot of theology, and you're a man of God, and you automatically roll out of bed on Sunday mornings and on Monday morning and every morning of the week. You just roll out of bed and you just spend all kinds of time on your knees in the presence of the Lord. I wish that I could tell you that today, but I cannot tell you that. I can tell you that I try my best, but I can tell you that I fail many times. I can tell you that when it comes to prayer, I can be very weak at times. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it. I don't even know if God's listening to me. I can be extremely weak. Now, we're going to discover something here this morning. We are going to discover that Paul is going to show us something here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 and 27. He is going to show us this morning that there is a direct connection between my prayer life, my communion with God, and my own spiritual condition. He calls it my weakness. Paul tells me here in this passage, he says to me, listen, Don Wilton, I want you to know something. That your weakness in prayer, your inability to talk to God and to concentrate on what you're doing, your inability to know what to pray about, is a direct connection with your own spiritual condition. And I'm going to tell you, Paul says, it is your weakness. And then in this passage, something remarkable is going to happen. Folks, we are going to be discovering some things over these next 2 weeks that I promise you are going to bless your life and will radically transform your relationship with Jesus Christ if you're willing. If you're willing to say, Lord, speak to me. Let's read together Romans chapter 8 and verse 26. Here's what Paul says. He says, in the same way. All right, let's just stop there for a moment. We've read enough. In the same way. Now, what does he mean in the same way? Do you know any time you see in the same way, what it means is that something's already been said that has provided the foundation for what you're about to say. That's what it says. It's like marriage, you know? You know, husbands and wives get together and they have difficulties and problems and all these things, and husband turns to wife or wife turns to husband and is about to put something profound on him or her and says, now listen, before I say what I'm about to say, do you remember what I told you 3 weeks ago? And she looks at him and says, I haven't the faintest idea what you said. Yes, you do too. Do you remember what I said? I sat you down. I'm going to sound like Jackie Gleason in The Honeymooners. In fact, if you don't listen, here it comes. You know what he's saying here? Paul is saying in the same way, and friends, I'm not going to try to do a contextual exegesis of all that Paul had said in order to get to this point, except to say to this, that what Paul is doing here at this juncture in Romans chapter 8 is that he has prepared the ground and he's moved all of us up to the point at which we're ready to hear what it is he's saying, because he is about to say something from the heart of God. In the same way. Now, if I could paraphrase Paul, and I'm not trying to do that, what Paul is saying is, excuse me, you need to listen to what this is about. You need to pay attention. You need to ask God to speak to your heart right now, because what I'm about to say to you is what God by His Spirit has put in my heart, and you cannot do without what God says to you. You cannot do without it. So look what he says, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Thank you, Lord. Now, right here, right on the surface, we haven't even begun to discuss this, a light suddenly went off. You mean to tell me that no matter what condition I find myself in, I'm hurting, my marriage is on the rocks, my son or my daughter has disappointed me, I'm suffering, I'm in pain, I've lost my job, you mean to tell me that even when I am absolutely down and out as a believer, that the Spirit of God is going to express me in ways that I am unable to express myself? Wow. We're going to discover something here, my friends, because I'm going to tell you something. In my life, I have become exasperated in my own ability to communicate with God. Well, let's read on. He says here that the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints, how? In accordance with God's will. Now watch me. I'm not doing anything. I'm hurting. I'm messed up. I am weak. I cannot even talk to God right now. I've got so much confusion. I want to know why it happened to me. What is this thing? This is not right. I'm down in the dumps. It is over. I'm depressed. I'm lonely. I'm languishing. I'm weak. And God's telling me that he is going to hear all about me, from my heart, in a way that I cannot even express. And not only that, it is going to be in accordance with the will of God. Wow! You mean to tell me I'm being connected into the will of God and I'm not doing anything? Yes. Friend, there is something very special about being in Christ Jesus. Paul says we are in Christ. There is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in union with Christ. It means that we are amalgamated into Christ. It means that we are fused into Him. We have become one with Him. We are joined into Almighty God because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross by the work of His Spirit. Now hold on, hold on. This is going to get very exciting. This is very important for us. It's very important for me as a believer to know this, because I want you to know that I suffer from untold weakness so many times. There is a direct connection between my communing with God and my own spiritual life. Paul calls it my weakness. How can I find strength when I'm weak? This is a scripture for life. And so I'm going to ask the first question this Sunday, just today. If, in fact, I'm able to find strength when I'm weak, well, excuse me, Paul, why am I weak? That's the first question. Why are we weak? What's your problem? If I could put it into my classical terminology, what seems to be your problem, brother? Why are you so weak? Why am I so weak? Lord, why am I so weak? I so badly want to walk and talk with you. I so badly want to wake up every day with the joy of yourself upon me. Lord, I so badly want to hear from you all the time. Lord, I see all these other people and I look at all these people and I listen to the pastor every Sunday and I say to myself, gee, it must be nice to be so spiritual and look at me. Why are we so weak? Let me take you to Scripture. I'm going to give to you, there are so many of these, but I'm going to limit them to five. Number one, I am weak. Now, you might never have guessed this. I'm just going to put it on you if you haven't heard it before. I am weak because of sin. S-I-N. God looks into my heart and He says to me, Don Wilton, your number one problem is your sin.
Indeed, sometimes it's hard to admit, but it is. It's our number one problem. And admitting our sin, coming to grips with it, is a powerful turning point in each of our lives. Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with the conclusion of today's message from Dr. Wilton. But I want you to know that as you're thinking about this need for making a change, let us pray with you about whatever it is that God wants to help you break free from. The number is 1-866-899-WORD. We really would love to connect with you, not just now, but 24 hours a day at 1-866-899-9673 and online at theencouragingword.org. Now the conclusion of today's message.
Sin separates me from God. Now listen to this. You and I are not going to understand this if we don't understand that God is a holy God. God cannot tolerate my sin. God has no part of my sin. God does not excuse my sin. God does not say to me, well, look, I tell you what, I know you've had a rough day, so I'm going to make an exception right now that you lied like that. I'm just going to make an exception that you were unfaithful to me. I'm going to make an exception that you cheated on your wife. I'm going to make an exception that you stole that money. I'm going to make an exception that you made money deceitfully. I'm going to just make an exception. Sin is sin. There is no other way to talk about it. God calls a spade, and it is my sin which separates me from God. Do you know what Job said? Job said, my ears are not stopped up that I cannot hear God. He said, my eyes are not blinded that I cannot see God. He said, my tongue has not been cut out that I cannot talk to God. He said, my legs have not been amputated that I cannot run to God. My arms have not been cut off that I cannot reach out and embrace God. It is my sin which has separated me from the Lord. And I'm going to say to you, beloved friends, and if we come to grips with what Paul is saying right throughout this incredible letter to the church at Rome, what Paul is saying here, my friends, yes, our weakness. We are lost in our sin. It is not always a matter of my behavior and my conduct and my immorality. It is a matter of my sinful nature. My sin causes me to have a big problem with the righteousness of God. Now let's put this into perspective here this morning. Who are we talking about? We're talking about God. Just in case some of us might have forgotten that today. Well, who is God? God is righteous. God is holy. God is just. God is sovereign. God is God. He's the King. He's the Lord. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the first and the last. There is none like unto Him. He created everything. He's Creator. He is Covenant Maker. God is who He says He is. Who is God? God is God, and God is upon His throne. And if you and I want to know the truth, literally, you and I have got nothing to say to God. Let's just cut away from all the stuff. What have we got to say to God? What can we say to God? Friends, we're not talking about someone as low down as the President of the United States of America. We're not talking about someone as low down as the Queen of England. We're not talking about someone as low down as a governor of a state or a principal of a high school or the pastor of a church. We're not talking about mere paltry men and women who are in positions of authority. We're talking about God. And when we approach the throne of grace, ultimately, if we really understand who we're dealing with, we've actually got nothing to say. But God permits us to speak, and we battle. You'd think it would be good enough that a sovereign king like this would even let us say something. But then when we do say something, folks, we have a problem. That's why, and I'm not trying to beat on something here, I have a real problem with young people who pray and keep their hats on. Don't do that. And it's not an option. You don't have an option. Well, I think I'll just take my hat off when we do this invocation. In the football stadium, you take your hat off. You're talking to Almighty God here. You're not just singing some anthem to some country that will go down the tubes one day. You're talking to God. You're not pledging allegiance to a flag. You're not making a decision just about some business deal. You're talking to God. And God says, I've decided you can talk to me. So why do I struggle like this after I've been given permission by the King? Because of my sin. My sin separates me from God. God has a very serious view of sin. In America today, friends all over the place, there are churches springing up all over the place that are saying, well, let's just smother over, let's just ignore sin. God's never said that. God doesn't ignore sin. God cannot ignore sin. Even if God wanted to, He cannot. Why? Because God is righteous. And God, because of His righteousness, cannot in any way even so much as contemplate the semblance of sin. No wonder He says to me, excuse me, Don, but you do remember that I'm the one that says if you confess your sin, Jesus Christ is faithful and just to forgive you for your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Didn't I say that? Didn't Jesus die? Am I not the one who loved you so much that I provided the means whereby you are going to be cleansed from your sin? So how am I able to communicate with God on one basis, that I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ and I receive His forgiveness? And what that's going to do, it is going to help me to derive strength in my weakness. I don't deserve to stand here today. I'm the least qualified person to stand in this pulpit. And I challenge any one of you to pick up a stone and throw it. You and I can only do what we do by God's grace. And Paul here puts his finger right on the pulse. Second reason why we are weak. perhaps is because of a cluttered mind, a cluttered mind. I will guarantee you today that there's at least one person worshiping with us right now, that the reason why God, you are not hearing God and you are not talking to God is because you've got a cluttered mind. You know, we got gap all the way up the side here today because all our teenagers are not here, most of them. And I just can't wait to see them tonight. You don't want to miss this worship service at 5:15. They're going to process in here. I'm going to tell you, folks, they will fill up that entire side. You want to see our young people together in one group? Over 300 of them will be here tonight, right up there. They're going to lead us in worship before I preach from the Word of God. And friend, listen, you know how much I love young people with a passion. But I'm going to tell you, the greatest danger that faces our young people today is the matter of a cluttered mind. God doesn't have a chance. Why? Because it's constant. Constantly needing to be entertained, constantly needing to go, constantly need to put on that CD, constantly having the earphones, constantly talking on the phone. I'll guarantee you there are some people worshiping the Lord today. The reason God is not blessing you, the reason why you are weak is because you've come to church with a cluttered mind. You went to bed so late last night, you don't know whether you're Arthur or Martha right now. You don't know whether you're coming or going. You're bombed out of your mind. Folks, we all fight that. I fight like that. I'm a night owl. Do you know what a night owl is? I could sleep all day and stay up all night. I'm telling you, I love it. I love getting out there with the bats. And you know something? I have to discipline myself all the time. For me to go to bed at night is a discipline. I mean, I've got to say, go to bed, get into bed, get into bed. Well, let's watch some TV, get into bed, put off the light, go to sleep. And then in the morning, man, you can have Mount Vesuvius erupt next door to my house and I won't wake up. I have to have 4 alarm clocks and I smash each one of them. I keep the whole of Spartanburg in the alarm clock business. Folks, listen, it's a cluttered mind. You see, what God is doing here, He's talking about the discipline of my heart. You don't just rock up at God's house and say, well, Lord, bless me. You don't just one day just fall out of bed and say, you know, well, Lord, let me just have a talk with you. But meanwhile, back at the ranch, you've had so much going on, your mind is so cluttered, it is so full of everything, you haven't given God a chance. Weakness. Are you beginning to understand why I struggle with my prayer life? Are you? I thought I was going dilly this week. I was getting home at 11 o'clock at night every single day. Yesterday, Saturday, counseling, meeting with people, being on the telephone, going here, going, not just cluttered mind. And folks, it's not bad stuff necessarily. It's wonderful. It's the things we have to do. We've got to work and live and minister and love and be there and do all these things. I had a lady come up to me this morning and very lovingly chastised me because I didn't come and visit her this week. Well, I'm sorry. Rudy toot toot toot. Now, let me tell you something. That lady, and she knows who she is, and she's sitting here looking at me with a smile on her face, and I'm going to love her for the rest of this week to get over this, but I'm going to tell you something. She has every reason and every expectation because she is hurting and she's in pain and she needs her pastor. And I want to be there. I desperately want to be there. I just could not get there. I have a cluttered mind. A cluttered mind many times happens for all the right reasons. But God says, how important is your communication with me anyway? Number 3, guilt. Guilt. That's maybe a reason why I'm weak. The reason why I'm weak when I pray is because I'm guilty. You see, I know God forgives me. I know God has delivered me. But boy, do I struggle forgiving myself. Folks, I still carry guilt from 30 years ago when I was in the military. I carry guilt. There are things I've never told a single person. Not my wife, not anybody. And I know God has forgiven me, but I'm telling you, I struggle with that guilt. I do. It's that. I know what I'm supposed to do. You don't need to lecture me and tell me about, I know God forgives me, takes my sin, he casts it as far as the east is from the west. I know that he knows when I talk to my wife badly and I ask her to forgive me and I ask him to forgive me. I know that God forgives me, but I struggle with guilt. You see, guilt makes me weak. Now, folks, just listen to this. Before I give you the other 2 points quickly, Satan loves our weakness. Satan is the great capitalizer. Satan pounces on our weakness. And you know what he does? We've got sin, we've got cluttered minds, we've got guilt. Satan says, oh boy, wow, woohoo, oh man, have I got him. And you know what Satan does? He's like a roaring lion. He's looking at you right now. He says, oh man, she's weak. Oh man, he's weak. He's so, oh, sin there, yes, cluttered mind. He's guilty. I'm going to nail his hind leg to the floorboards. I'm going to jump all over that. I'm going to make them feel like they are rotten, dirty scoundrel. I'm going to make this happen, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to disrupt them, and I'm going to get in there. Why? Because Satan has got his fiery darts, and where's he aiming it at? He's aiming it at our Achilles heel, at our weak spot. He wants to trip us up and break us down and destroy us and cast us out into the gutter where he wants us to be. Satan loves my weakness, but he's not going to get me. I am resolved. I am resolved that he will not get me because of my resolve. No. Because of Jesus Christ.
Oh, I take encouragement when I hear the pastor talk with conviction about the fact of that resolve that we try to muster up all the strength to resist the devil. You know, we cannot do it on our own. But just like Dr. Don just said, I am resolved that he will not get me because of my resolve. No, because of Jesus Christ. Do you know Jesus Christ? Not know about him, but do you know him? We would love to pray with you right here, right now, and see you come to know him personally. Our toll-free number I mentioned earlier is 1-866-899-WORD. That's 1-866-899-9673. We'd love to pray with you. It's a simple prayer. You could pray without calling. You could pray right where you are, driving down the road, in your home, wherever you are, just by saying, God, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I believe you, Jesus, are the Son of God and have taken my place and taken my sin. I give my life to you in Jesus' name. Let us help you begin daily conversations with God to gain your strength. Strength, again, not because we've just resolved ourselves to conquer the sin or the temptation in our life, but because of Jesus. Again, have a blessed day, and remember, we'd love to touch base with you at 1-866-899-WORD. The Encouraging Word.